Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the Round Table, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. We are on Blog Talk Radio, and I am with mothers and daughters from around the world. You know, someone said to me, I love it when you say from around the world, because that's the reachability of the internet. You just never know who's on the internet and where they are. So when we get calls from London and I'm seeing someone from Paris on there, or, you know, different places, and I'm thinking, wow, Malaysia, wow, mothers and daughters around the world. It amazes me. So I thank you this morning for joining us. We're going to have an absolutely wonderful show today. But before we get into ourselves, let me just give honor to where honor is due. Father God, we come this morning, mothers and daughters from around the world, saying thank you, Father. Thank you for creating us as women that you will use to recreate your kingdom and fulfill your will. Father God, we just thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you for wisdom. And most of all, Father, we thank you for understanding. Because you said no one come to you for wisdom and don't get it. If we come to you and we ask you, and you said most importantly, ask for understanding. Once we get the understanding, then we know better. We have to do better. So Father God, this morning, I just ask that each mind of every mother and daughter is touched this morning to be renewed to know that anything that they need, they can come to you. You will give them the answer. You'll give them the understanding. Why am I asking you to touch each heart and mind of mothers and daughters? Because mothers are the creators. We are responsible for the children. Our son and our fathers are coming through mothers. You could have just said, and Jesus came. But no, you deliberately had him to be born through a woman. Because you wanted to make the point, the value of mother. So, Father God, I thank you. I ask that you give us strength to understand, and thank you for the Holy Spirit for guiding us and leading us. Because without the Holy Spirit, Father, we'd be totally lost. So I thank you this morning for the blessing, my health and strength. And as always, Father God, I thank you for choosing me to do this part of your work here in the kingdom. And I thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so wonderful to know what you are here to do. I know what I'm here to do. Mothers and daughters, I was designed to do this, anointed to do this. We do a lot of things, but the one thing we must do is have that conversation with God and ask him, why did you send me here? What is the purpose? What am I supposed to be doing to help you fulfill your kingdom here on earth? Because you will not sit here just to look pretty or to roam around in confusion. You were sent here to do a job. You were sent here on a mission. And what you do connects to what someone else does And that makes the whole movement and growth of the kingdom, because one is connected to the other. We are part of a whole body. He said we're part of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is living, then there's nothing dead. That means you should be up and about your Father's business. But you got to know what that is. And just imagine if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, it's going to make it hard for the next person. And remember, when people come into your lives, they come into your lives for a reason. There's a connection. And if you look back, you're connected to somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody else. They always say 6 degrees. Out of 6 people you can name, somebody knows somebody of 6 people that you know. I'm not very good at this, but you know what I'm saying. There's a connection. And so you don't meet someone just for sake of accident. You meet them because they were designed purposely by God to be on your journey. Now, we have to recognize what is the value and what is the connection between me and this person that I've met, even a total stranger. Just like last night, we were at a auto shop, and this gentleman walked up, and I'm looking at him, and the lady that's in the car with me, she was looking at him because, you know, he looked strange, and, you know, you always want to be kind of noticeable about people coming up around you, especially when you're at an auto shop. And he came up, and someone said, well, he's excellent at what he does. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. I'm looking at him. That gentleman came in there, did some stuff to my car in less than about 10 or 15 minutes to my water hose that I'd had some problems with, that would have cost me on the low end about $600. And he did it and fixed it all, and I spent less than $50 doing that. I was like, wow. And he started telling me, you need to do this, you need to do that. And when I looked at him, walked away, and he looked like Jesus. He really did. And I was like, Lord, thank you. So God has that ram in the bush no matter where you are. If you trust and depend on him, that ram will pop up every time. So I don't know why I got off on that, but I did. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, for the newcomers, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie Fletcher. She can say, you can call me Dr. Bessie. We're here on Blog Talk Radio at the round table where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you know a mother and daughter that you feel that is having some interesting conversation, some conflict, or just want to improve what they have, because, you know, you can never get too much love and too much understanding and too much time spending with your daughter, call them, text them at 347-539-5078, and ask them to listen to the program. Some people like to listen, and some people say, you know what, I got something I want to say. You know, if you got something you want to say, just click one. It'll prompt me on the in the studio, and then what I will do is get to you and hear what you have to say, because whatever is in your heart, God has someone in place around the world to hear what you have to say, because you are going to minister to that person with your testimony and your story. So don't hold back on those testimonies and those stories, because I can't live everybody's life. I only have mine. I only have my experiences, and I come on Saturday morning to share what God has taught me during the week. And, of course, I like mothers and daughters on here that can share what God has taught them, your experience, because somebody's going to be healed from your testimony, whether you ever meet them or not. Just know this is a divine plan of outreach to reach mothers and daughters around the world. So get your pen and paper, your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and let's have a conversation. Our topic this morning, we're going to do what part two, where the real mother and daughter please stand, part two. And the reason I'm going on with that, because I want to kind of explore in a different area today, because something happened this week, and when it did, it really affected me to the core of my soul. I was so disturbed, I didn't really know what to do. I just know that it attached itself to my heart. It attached itself to my mind, the core of my soul. And God spoke to me, and he said, that's a part of your assignment. That's why you're here. For those of you who don't know, my role and the reason that we're doing mothers and daughters, God asked me to go out and save the babies. And how do I do that? Simply radio, television, speaking engagement. I've got to travel this year. I got to speak to as many people as I possibly can just to put a word from the Lord in their mind, to plant that seed that as a mother you have a responsibility to the children. And what you say to the children will define the outcome of that child. Because if you tell that child that he or she is no good, they're never going to amount to anything, you're ugly. I know it's hard to think that a mother would tell their child that they're ugly, but how many... I'm a Christian clinical psychologist for some of you that don't know. But in therapy, how many times have I had a child said that the mother told them, you're ugly? And it just tears their heart out that every mother thinks that their baby is absolutely gorgeous. Because you wouldn't see anything else. A child that you helped born into this world, and all of a sudden you're going to break the child down and say the child is ugly, you're no good. Those words stay in the mind of that child for a lifetime. And the only person that can just even put a cover over it is the mother. The mother and children are waiting for the mother to apologize to them. So if you see that your relationship with your daughter or your son is going astray and it seems like you can't communicate, you need to stop. You need to sit down. And you need to, what is it? Let me be the first one to say, I'm sorry. It's okay. You're not a perfect mother. And they're not perfect children. But it's okay to apologize. I've seen it in my office so many times when and a lot of them speak to me and say, you know, all she wants is an apology. And I remember this lady and her daughter was in there, and the daughter was sitting with her back, literally turned to her mother, looking at me, the mother's, chairs are side by side, but she literally turned her back and looked at me as the mother was sitting behind her, heartbroken, tears coming down her face. And the Lord said, all she wants is an apology. And when I told the mother, I said, she needs an apology. She needs you to apologize because you hurt her so bad. And when the mother gave the apology, that was the breakthrough. The daughter just almost fell to her knees because you could just tell that's what she needed. I don't know these things. I only listen to what God tells me. I'm not that smart. I get wisdom from God. He tells me what to say to people. And that was their breakthrough. And she said, I've been waiting on that. I've been waiting on that. I thought you owed me an apology for what you did. So sometimes it's a simple thing like that. And let's put yourself in that daughter's place and just pull up somebody that you know in your heart and soul that you feel owe you an apology. And every time you think about that person, you say, they owe me an apology. They hurt my feelings. They owe me an apology. That's all you want. You know they can't change it. But that apology just does something. It softens your heart, and it will put that conversation in your intro conversation to rest. So an apology is a big thing. So mother, you know, even if the daughter did something to you, you still need to go to that daughter. And you can tell her, you know, whatever I've done, take the first step. Whatever I've done, let me apologize. And I feel like you owe me an apology because of this, this, and this. And let's talk about that so that we can move on. There's nothing worse than to live your whole life estranged from your daughter. I was looking at Imitation of Life, and I was watching it with Dr. Green, and I was looking at it, and I mean, you know, you look at this young lady who wanted to be white, because it wasn't her fault. She was caught between looking white and being an Afro-American. So she didn't know which way to go. She wasn't accepted in either world. She was caught between the rock and the hard place. So she made a decision. I don't like the way Afro-Americans are being treated. So I'm going to I can go either way. I'm going to pick the side that seemed like with the least resistance. I'm going to choose to be white. So she refused to what? To acknowledge that was her mother, because her mother was of dark skin. Her mother was a maid. She didn't want that. So she decided, I'm going to play the white card. And she played it. But oh, when that day came and she got that call and her mother was in that casket, can't take her out. Then all of a sudden, she was Afro-American. This is my mother. She wanted everybody to know, this is my mother. But look, she wasted a whole lifetime. Could have been laughing, talking, eating, traveling, having fun. But the enemy stole that relationship, and that's what he does. He comes to steal, to destroy, and to kill anything that you will allow him to steal, kill, and destroy. And that mother and daughter relationship is a key element to the family. So he knows if he can keep the mother and daughter apart, then the family's going to be weak. And I tell people, don't help Satan fight God. Don't help Satan fight God. Because when you are not doing what God says, then you're doing what Satan says. So there ain't no two ways about it. Don't play the game. Don't play it. There's only one or the other. You're either with God or you're with Satan. And Satan wants to destroy that mother-daughter relationship. That's his role. Because then that way, it weakens the family. The grandchildren are affected, the next generation are affected, the next generation are affected because what? A mother and daughter could not get along. That's how he wants me to save the baby. Preaching this word to mothers and daughters that you're responsible for the outcome for the next four generations. So you can do all that you want to do, but when you get before the Father, you're going to be accountable for your relationship with your children. So that's where we're talking about, you know, will the real mother please stand, or the invitation of life, who are you? And today, I have with me on the radio, and sometimes, you know, this thing, I don't have control over it. I have my plans and God have his, so this is what it is. Today we have Cynthia Oliver, Janice Paldo, Sandra D, Evangelist Davis, Cecilia Davis, and we have a guest with us, Bridgette Baker and her two daughters, Cheyenne and Amani. I'm calling names out. I'm not on the switchboard. I'm assuming that these individuals are there. And also, as every Saturday, I thank my ecclesiastic board, Dr. Green, Dr. Wilson, Dr. Wilcox, and Dr. Lovett, for being a part of Mother and Daughter, being a part of the ministering piece to me, to help me to do the work that God has asked me to do. God is sending people to help. And just like he sent 12 people to help Jesus, he told me, I will send you 12 doctors. Many of you have heard me tell this story, and they are coming. And the purpose is to walk this walk and to talk about mothers and daughters and their relationships. So that's where we are today. And our background for our newcomers, we focus on as is a mother, so is her daughter. And God spoke those words. I didn't write them. I didn't, you know, create it, anything to do with it. When he told me, I was like, wow, okay. Ezekiel 16:44. That is the word. That is the foundation of what we do. Because mother, as you are, so is your daughter. She doesn't know any better. She see you. You're the mirror in which she starts living out of. So we'll go down to our topic this morning. And I want to get into some announcements, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to go straight on into what we are talking about, what the real mother and daughter please stand. And I kind of want to open this up this morning, Don, some information that I received this week. And the information dealt with babies being killed by the hands of the mother. And here in Broward County, over 400 children, ranging from one day, I think the highest I saw was 17, children that was killed by their mother. And they have this paper, a full page of, actually it's about four pages, newspaper size, of children, the faces of the children, all a collage of little babies, beautiful babies, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kind of a look, you know, that the mother killed because they were either on substance abuse or domestic violence, something. And when you look at that, I'm telling you, it just took my heart out. And it brought me back to our topic, which was last week, will the real mother and daughter please stand? So I called Cynthia and I said, do you have that paper? Because Cynthia brought the paper to me to the office. And I said, that's what I want to talk about today. It disturbed me so bad. I saw it, I think it was yesterday. And I thought, God, this is what you're asking me to do. I'm thinking he's asking me to save the babies, the future babies that are being born by just talking to mothers and daughters about what they're doing. He brought it full, just right in front of my face. And he's saying, look at what I'm asking you to do. Look at 400 babies in a short span. And I'm going to ask Cynthia, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm thinking it was in about a year or so. Can you imagine 400 babies being killed by the mother? Some by the fathers. They had a collage of them. But the majority of them was the mother. Let's just say if it's 400, 300 was done by mothers. And you think, where's the real mother? The real mother. Will the real mother please stand? And it brought me to something that God placed on my heart this morning. He said, remember the two ladies that had the baby and they went to King Solomon? And in fact, I'm not going to play with you. I didn't get it quite like that. He said, remember the two ladies that was fighting over the baby? Remember that story? And I was like, yeah. That's the story you need to use for this today. I remember the story. I didn't know where to go get the story. You know, I tell you, I read the Bible. I don't try to quote the Bible. I don't try to remember the Bible. I read the Bible because I don't want to get anything wrong. And he says, my words, not your words. So if you add one word and you think you know the Bible so well, you can just remember word for word, that's good if you can. But I don't want to take that risk because I'm not that good. So I'll go back and I'll read it. And I'd rather read what he says and not add my words to it. Because if you add just one word to it, then it's not what God said because you have changed it to what you said because you added something to it. He said, add nothing to, take nothing away. And that's why we miss blessings because we don't quote exactly what God says. That's why we have illnesses because they don't go away, symptoms, because what? We don't quote exactly what God said. We quote what we thought he said. So I went, I pulled the Bible out. In fact, I called Cynthia, and then we said, she said, well, let's Google it. And I Google it, and it popped right up. And it's in 1 Kings 3, starting at 16. And normally,
I don't do this because God never told me to do Bible study. He tells me what he wants me to say, and we do it. But he told me this morning to pull this out. So I read. It's been a long time since I've read it, so I read the story. And here's two women that are prostitutes. And they're staying in the same house, both pregnant. One have a baby, a son. 3 days later, the other one have a baby, a son. And they're raising their sons together. In this house. No one else is there. And then one night, one mother rolled over, smothered her baby. The baby died. So what she decided to do was to take her baby and put it in the bed with the other mother and take the other mother's baby and put it in the bed with her, laid the baby up on her bosom, and pretend that was her child. Well, you know your child. It could be 40 years, it could be 50 years, but when a mother and daughter meet, or a mother and a father and a child meet, you know it. It's something there that connects you. You're connected. You know that you know that you know. So when that mother woke up and saw that baby dead, I can only imagine. Her first thought was crying and getting out of order. Can you imagine screaming, oh, my God, what happened? Did I kill my baby? You know, and then all of a sudden she looked at the baby. And she said, this is not my son. This is not my son. So she went over to the lady and she said to her, that's my son. You have my son and this is your son. The lady said, no, this is my son. The living son is my son. And they argued back and forth. So they went before the king. And that's why King Solomon is known as what? One of the wisest kings. Very wise. But he's no wiser than you. Only thing he did, he was wise enough to go to God and ask God for wisdom for whatever he did. So we start using that alone, our life will change. And when the two ladies came, one saying, no, this is my child. The other one, no, this is my child. And I can only imagine he stopped for a moment, got his thoughts together, and he went to God. Okay, God, what should I do? I need some wisdom on this because I don't know which one is the real mother. I have two women in front of me. I do not know which one is the real mother. I need your help. Can you give me some wisdom and understanding on this? That's all King Solomon ever did. He asked for wisdom and understanding. And something popped in his mind, God's word. God spoke to him and said, try this. He said to him, bring me a sword. Lay the baby down. What we'll do, let's cut the baby in half, give one half to one mother and one half to the other. That'll solve the problem. Paraphrasing, we can go on with our day. But just as that sword went up, the real mother says, oh, no, hold it. Let her have the baby. I'd rather for the baby to live than to die. Let her have the baby. And what was the wisdom out of that? The real mother stood. The real mother stood up and said, I'd rather be without my son and have him alive as to have him killed. Let her have him. And King Solomon looked at the two women and said, give this live boy to this mother because this is his mother. The other lady was saying, you know, if I can't have him, then you can't have him. Well, he knew then that's not the mother because the real mother said, I'd rather give him away than to have him killed. That's the real mother. She stood. When I look at the pictures of these babies, 400 children killed at the hands of their parents, 90% of them being a mother. As I said to Cynthia this morning, because I don't talk to people in the morning before I get on the radio, very seldom. I called her and I said, I want to talk about that today. Will the real mother please stand? Because the mother was not there. The real mother could not have been there. It would have been impossible. Impossible. Because if, and when I say that, I'm talking about mentally and spiritually, you could not have killed your own child. It's impossible. But because of a substance or because of some mental derangement, the real mother was not there. I'm going to speak to our guest. We have a guest this morning, and then I'm going to bring you in, Cynthia. No, I'm going to change it around. Bridgette, I'll come right back to you. I'm going to open it up with Cynthia. We're going to set the stage, and then I'll come back to you. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Dr. Fletcher, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. So tell us just a little bit. Was it 2011 or was it last year? Give me a little background.
It was last year, 2013. This is a compilation of all the babies who was the state of Florida. You know, we have ChildNet, and we have these agencies that's supposed to protect the children when there's a phone call made that the children are in danger and whatnot. So children were told that they were in jeopardy, and so they're saying that Florida, and the title of it is Innocence Lost, how 477 children died of abuse or neglect after falling through Florida's protective net.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. We can't hear you very well. You're moving in and out. It's like very wavy.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Is it better now?
A little better.
Let me take the headphones off. Okay. The story goes, Innocent Lost, how 477 children died of abuse of neglect after falling through Florida's protective net, a story about missed opportunities. Now, as you called me this morning, Dr. Fletcher, my mind, it goes automatically into what God would say about this, and the Holy Spirit just started downloading information about this thing to me. Florida was never designed to protect our children. Our mothers and our fathers was designed to protect our children. So the children didn't fall through Florida. They fell through the hands of their parents. That was number one. But then when I read the scripture that you gave me, God showed me some very significant difference in the two women as well as some similarities. Very significant. They were both prostitutes. Another significance is, human nature is to accuse. The one woman said the woman rolled over and killed her child. How would she know what really happened? Child could have died of SIDS. That's human nature to accuse of what we think happened. Then he showed me this. Look at the actions of the two women. One decided that she was going to try to resolve the problem herself, and it's because she didn't want to be blamed, obviously. So she switches the baby. That's an action between the two of them. The really thing that struck me here was, while I, your servant, was asleep, though they had the same title, they were both prostitutes, one believed to be a servant of God, despite her behavior, but despite her habit. Then I go down. He says, the next morning, she got up to nurse the son, and he was dead. She was wise enough to examine the child to know that this was not my child.
Okay. So with all that being said, I want you to stick with the story on the newspaper there. Can you give me some, because I want to bring some other people in. We got a lot of questions up here. I don't want to take too much time because we went through that, but what is it about the story in the paper that's what I want you to share this morning? If you could get a little bit on that, and then I'll try to bring you back on.
because I want our guests to come on. But I also want to know what, how many children, what was the date, and this story was broken on this month on the what? March the 16th.
March 16th.
Okay.
It was March 16th. This final edition of in March 16th. It's in its state. The title again states Innocence Lost: How 477 Children Died at the Abuse or Neglect After Falling Through Florida's Protective Net. A story about missed opportunities. Do you want me to go into how some of the children were killed, or that's enough?
No. What I'm looking for here and in talking about this is that will the real mother please stand? And we can go a lot of different ways with this and look at each child, and each child has a different story. But the point that I want to make is that that's why God is asking us to do what we do. That's why all these mothers and daughters that are on the line today that comes on constantly on Saturday morning, and sometimes you may not realize, you know, why am I on here on Saturday morning? Why do I do this? You know, but yet you come back every Saturday morning. It's because God has assigned you to this mission as well. It's not just for me to go out and talk to mothers and daughters. You have an assignment as a part of this total body. I'm going to put you on hold, Cynthia. Thank you for sharing that part with me, and I'll come back to you.
Okay.
So it's like, why am I here? Why am I here on Saturday mornings? Why am I connected to mothers and daughters? Because you are part of this story. You are part of the delivery. You are a servant to deliver this message to other mothers and daughters. So when you're walking around and you're looking at mothers and daughters, you know, sometimes you say to a woman, how's your mother and daughter story? You know, how's your mother and daughter relationship? And I'm telling you, people will start talking to you. That gives you a chance to minister for God. That gives you a chance. You know in your heart you're connected. You know you're connected from your heart. Then ask yourself, why am I connected? It's a simple mission. God is not asking you to create an ark and put every mother and daughter on there. God not asking you to travel the Red Sea. He's just asking you to have a conversation with every woman that come in front of you. How is your mother and daughter relationship? Is there anything we can do at Mothers and Daughters to help you? He's duplicating this message through you. So I'm planting this seed in your mind because there's 400 babies. Had we been out there, have we been talking to those mothers? How is your relationship with your mother? 9 times out of 10, the mother that's in jail now because of the death of their daughters did not have a good relationship with their mother. Because it's no 9 times out of 10. I say 10 times out of 10. Says that God cannot lie. As is the mother, so is her daughter. And sometimes I know my daughter would say to me, she said, well, Mama, you know, that's in certain cases. You know, that's not in every case. Of course that's not in every case. It's not in every case that a daughter, not that every daughter is not like a mother. That's every case because that's what God said. Let me make sure I get this clear. But we as daughters, sometimes we grow and we read, we study, we become Christians, we trust God, then we start working on what God wants us to do. But deep down inside of us, there's that root. There's those things that you can feel, the traits and habits and thoughts and words that came from your mother. But you decided, I'm going to work on this. I'm not going to do it quite that way. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist inside of you, because we have a lot of things inside of us. We have to control it. We have to kill those things, those thoughts. But if we are not trained to kill those thoughts and how to manage those thoughts, then they will take over and we'll have the same habits and behaviors. Because the word is, as is the mother,
So is her daughter. And God said to me, there's nothing to add to it or take away. So the mothers that are in prison today, they are living, I wish I had a, if I just did this, if I hadn't done that. So that's our mission. And God brought it full front and in my face. This is what I'm asking you to do. Not social programs. I'm asking you to save the babies so I got it, and I'm going to be at social services. I'm talking to them this week, and I'm going to go. I don't know what God wants me to do, but he wants me to go into this story, and he'll show me when I get there. I'm going to ask introduce you to our speaker, our guest speaker this morning, our guest host. I'm all caught up into this. Bridgette, how are you doing this morning? Bridgette Baker.
I'm good. Thank you very much, Dr. Fletcher, for having me on this morning.
No, oh, you're welcome. I'm all emotionally tied in this morning from a story that I saw, and you're here in Florida, so you know basically what I'm talking about. Some degree. Tell us a little bit about you, and then I know you have two daughters. And Cheyenne,
I do.
And Amani.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Are they teenagers?
They're teenagers, 19 and 16.
Okay. Interesting ages. That's that
yes.
age when that is growing into their own.
Yes.
So tell us just a little bit about you, and then tell us what you think, your thoughts on the story that we're, the topic that we're on this morning. But tell us a little bit about you and your relationship with your daughter and your mother, and then come back to that topic.
Okay. I'm a business owner, and so, you know, just like many of us women, you know, it's sometimes a struggle trying to balance the demands of business and family. But yes, I run a small business. I do consulting for small businesses, business startups. My daughters, as you said, they're in a very transitional age, both of them. The 16-year-old, you know, getting ready to start navigating social situations that will, you know, kind of test her resolve and the things that we hope that she's learned as growing up, you know, by way of virtue and the way that a young lady should behave. And then my oldest daughter now starting school and now out into the world and, again, still being tested with hopefully all of those seeds we planted will manifest themselves in a positive way and, you know, striking her own. I have two sons as well in the household, teenagers as well, so it's very busy. And I really appreciate the topic here with mothers and daughters because it's a blessing and a challenge. The relationship I have with my own mother is very complicated. And it's a very complex, very layered relationship, and it has been strained for the past few years. And without getting into all of the nitty-gritty of that, I think one of the things that that really struck me with the story that you're talking about is, you know, it is so hard for us to imagine or fathom that a mother, the person who brought you into the world with God's help, you know, could turn against you and somehow either lose themselves or forget about that pure love that should be there between mother and child. But I in listening to you, I hear it, I feel the heart-wrenching, you know, nature of it. But I wanted to step back for a minute and kind of, if I may, one of the things I struggle with, and I don't know if others do as well, and maybe you have some input on this, is because we're mothers, we're daughters, but we're human first. And what often happens, at least in my case, is that, you know, it's challenging. My daughters are looking to me as a role model, but I'm still a work in progress myself. You know, as I mentioned, my relationship with my mother is not really the best. And so there are things that I purposefully try to do with my own daughters to kind of change that cycle. And I'm very conscious sometimes of the way I feel when, you know, my mother does certain things or did certain things, and so I try to avoid those things with my daughters. But it's struggling. It's a struggle because I'm starting to see, especially in my younger daughter, some manifestations of those same emotional struggles from outside forces and other things going on in her life, which I have no control over. But I do recognize that, you know, she's facing some challenges, and sometimes it's a challenge to be strong enough to help her face what she's going through while I'm still trying to navigate emotionally what's going on with me and trying to, you know, find, you know, strength psychologically and support and stuff like that to work through my own issues. So that's been a challenge for me. It's like I recognize that she needs, you know, she needs the support and she needs that guidance, but like, how do you do that when you're still struggling too? You know what I mean? And I'm wondering if these women who, you know, took the lives of their children or neglected them, you know, they were human first and they had their own, you know, demons. They had their own things going on. And without the interception of some outside force or for them to recognize that with God's help, they could navigate through all of that was going on inside them. You know, they didn't have the strength to really still be there for their children and still nurture and still provide that true unconditional love. They got lost somewhere, you know. And so I'm glad that you have this forum that can offer the kind of support that can help us as mothers, you know, be better for our children.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes right back to what we said, as is a mother, so is her daughter. See, you can't give what you don't have or what you don't know. So that's where the resistance come between you and your daughter, because you want to do it, you don't know how to do it because you're still struggling with your relationship with your mother. And until
exactly.
you and your mother sit down and have that honest conversation, you know, and that apology, you know, that whatever is needed is done, and you have that breakthrough, then and only then will you see that beam of light in order to be able to reach out and grab your daughter. Got to go back. You got to get the story. You got to talk to your mother, and you got to let her know, I'm struggling. It's not going to go away. You got to face it, because then you will not have what you need for the next generation, and that's what we're talking about, saving the baby. Our mother today has to have what is needed, or at least general ideas, the self-help that we're doing, mother-to-mother, you know, support group, you call it what you may. We all are joining, uniting together to put our smorgasbord of experiences and knowledge on the table to feed each other. And that's the way I look at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, as a smorgasbord of information, experiences, love. You know, everybody's got a little piece of something. And if we all share it, we can help each other get to the next level. So with that being said, you've got to sit down and have this conversation with you and your mother. I'd be glad to facilitate that for you.
I appreciate that.
Because you've got to free yourself in order to save your own children. And it also is going to help you with your husband. It's going to help you with your sisters. It's going to help you with your cousins. It's going to help you with the women in your workplace. If you don't get along with your mother, if you have something that you have not settled with your mother, it's hard for you to trust and relate to the women. There's that little resistance. You're always watching somebody. You know? Does that make sense to you?
It does. It makes perfect sense, actually.
And you owe it to your daughter, because she's just a baby. Can you imagine? You're an adult, and you can't figure it out. Can you imagine her being 16, a baby?
She
has no clue. And she really, really needs you, and she's dependent on you. She don't know what's going on, and you're not there to help her. That, you know, you can just don't imagine. And then what she'll say is, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. And then she'll go make some decisions
based on that, and you'll say, wonder what happened to this girl. I don't know what happened. It's because she'll feel like you dropped the ball, you knew I was having problems, and you didn't straighten it out. And they know when you are estranged from your mother. They know by the conversations and the way you talk. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay. So let's get that done. God didn't send you here for no reason. I think Sandra D met you at a restaurant. And it, don't think it was an accident.
Oh, I don't believe in accidents.
Right. You were praying, and God showed up. He sent Sandra. So think about that. You have my number. Call me. Let's talk outside of the radio program, and we'll take it to the next level. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being our guest today. God bless you. I'll be talking to you. Love you. All right. God will move every time. Okay. Sandra D., good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for inviting Brigitte to the roundtable this morning. It was very nice, very interesting. And thank you for listening to God and talking about mothers and daughters, because God used you to minister, and that's what we do. So what is your top? What are your thoughts this morning on where the real mothers stand and the killing of babies?
Well, wow, that's, you know, I just heard that actually just from you guys talking about it this morning, and that is kind of heart-wrenching. It's a good topic for today, and, you know, what can we say, you know, from the bottom of the lady's heart that finally realized that she'd rather have her baby survive versus to be killed. And so that tells you right there in people's heart, it doesn't matter. You're going to always have a good person and a bad person. You know, my mother's gone a long time ago, and the things that we do and say will, you know, come apart as far as our journeys go in life. So, you know, the story is very hard. I miss my mother. I don't understand some of the things that goes on today with these young people. It's a totally new generation. I have a son. To me, it is a little bit easier. So I'm glad you continued on with the conversation. I'm glad I heard that story, because it does make you think about, you know, what's going on in the world today. And, you know, for you to come on and make us all be a part of your conversation as far as helping each other out, being able to talk. You know, I just wish, and this is something that I was talking to Brigitte about, is I wish more people would just talk and click the number one, to be able to come on and talk. Nobody knows who you are. They don't even know if they ran into you on the street who you are. So just talk, free your mind, free your soul about this conversation with mothers and daughters. You will learn, you will grow, and also you'll be a better person.
That is so true. That is so true. Well, I thank you. And we actually, you know, we all worked together, you and Cynthia and I, yesterday all day. And Cynthia pulled the paper out and started reading it. And she had told me about it earlier. But when she pulled it out and she said, Dr. Fletcher, this is the paper. So we discussed that after you left. But we'll share that with you when we see you, okay? It was powerful.
Okay.
It just changed the whole mood in the office yesterday. All right. Thank you so very much. Thank you for the guest. You know, anybody out there, you have a guest you want me to talk to, you know, text me, email me, do something, drbessie1@gmail.com. I'd love to have them on. Look at what we got today. Beautiful wisdom from Brigitte, and we learned a lot, and she shared, and somebody was healed from that. Thank you. I love you. You have a blessed day. Okay, I know our time is running. Okay, we have Evangelist Davis. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. I'm doing great today. I enjoyed the conversation today. And I always remember that story. And it's 1 Kings 3:16-28. And when I was a child, it bothered me that the king would have cut the baby in half. But my mom had to reassure me that the king knew the right mother would come up, because I did not like that story in Sunday school, and I remember it bothered me. But I would like to hear Cynthia, you know, article, you know, more, you know, about it, because it is interesting. But you were so right. Solomon went to God and asked him for wisdom to give him to understand this. And then, and you didn't say this, but it was two prostitutes. You know, they were two prostitutes, and they came to him. And he didn't know which one to believe. And I thought this was awesome, the way God worked it out, and the true mother stand up. And that's what really is going on today. The true mother will stand up for their children and stuff like that, but the situation, the environment and everything. One girl couldn't see her child. She went to get help. This is in New York. And she couldn't, and she just left the baby out in the stroller. And it was freezing night, and one man saw it out the window and came and saved that baby life. So that's what I'm saying. It takes more than one person. If he didn't even saw the baby in the stroller moving, came out, that child would have been dead, because it was so cold that night. He saved that child's life. So we all got to help each other and stuff. When you see somebody hurting, you know, sometimes just a kind word will help them. And people like you, you know, that get up every Saturday to have these shows for mothers and daughters, that you basically talk about the son, the sister. You say you just have to be a daughter to get on. And I know a lot of people out here listen to you, but, you know, like Sandra D said, you know, maybe they're afraid to say something or whatever. People won't know you, and you will learn and you will grow. I learned so much from this, and I was like, God, thank you for letting, you know, Dr. Bessie come into my life. It was a great experience, and I just sometimes I think, if it never happened, wow, I would have lost, you know, so much wisdom. And I just thank you for letting me share this. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And we love hearing you when you speak and imparting wisdom on us, because, you know, it takes all of us. I can't say it all. I can't think of it all. And God's not going to tell me all. You know what I mean? He's going to tell me what he wants me to know, and that's why we are here together. I love you, and you have a blessed day.
You too.
Now, what I'm saying to you mothers and daughters out there, you know, we're not here to beat you up. We're not to point the finger at you at all. There is no perfect mother. And I keep telling people that all the time. We are on a learning curve. And the learning curve is, that's why God put us together. We are our brother's keepers. We are here to help each other. And if we start getting about that, this whole world is going to take a shift. If we just, I'm challenging every woman that's hearing my voice right now. I don't care where you are. All I want you to do is to count the number of women that you can talk to this week. And I literally want you to report next week on the radio. I'm going to make the show about that. This is literally, how many women can you talk to by simply saying, how is your mother and daughter relationship? And see what they say. Just strangers, people you know. A lot of people you know won't say anything because they're embarrassed, and then you think, what? Not that mother and daughter. Ask the question, how is your mother and daughter relationship? See what you get. Take it down, report next week. Do that for God, not for me, because it's going to bless someone. Hold on, and I'll be right back.
Been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right. Thank you very much. And, you know, we're going to change that DrBessie.com. But if you go to MDBN, that's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network, .org, click on the donate button. Donate something. We have a group of women. We have 25 women in the substance abuse program that we are ministering to and helping each week, 2 days out of the week. donate something, adopt a mother, take some of what you give and donate if you can. That would be wonderful, and I want to thank the ones that have been donating to us. It just amazes me to see $20, $30, you know. It don't have to be a big thing, but it adds up and help take care of what we do. Thank you so very much. God bless you, and have a blessed week. I look to hear the number of people that you talk to this week on next Saturday show. Be good. Bye-bye.